good?
We've got some huge stuff.
We will call our budget workshop meeting to order. Good evening, everyone. I apologize for my tardiness. Okay, do I have a motion to, or let's, we'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Harris.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
And Trustee Green.
Here.
Thank you.
And I'm here too.
Trustee Dart is here as well. I'm sorry, Penny. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt as presented.
Trustee Harris, do I have a second? Trustee Atwood, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. So, item number 3, 2021 budget review / work session with village staff. Who wants to take it from here?
I'll start.
Hello, Julie.
Hello. Hopefully you can all hear me. If not, just give me a holler. What I put up on the screen there is the budget overview that was included in your budget booklet. Basically, it boils everything down to what are we looking at for a levy increase versus a tax rate increase. And if we look at what's driving the levy increase, we've got an increase in the general fund, slight increase in the bus services fund, and then the debt service fund, in addition to right here, the levy for the TID district is also going up. So we have got a total village tax levy of $6.9 million, which is a $225,000 increase over prior year, or 3.36%. When we bring that down to the tax rate here, going from 7.356 to 7.549, for an increase of just under 3% at 2.62. Overall rate then on $150,000 home would increase by $29. Now what's driving the increase? General fund, we've got increases in expenditures as well as decreases in revenues. And some of the revenues that have decreased, mainly like we've got the interest income, which we had a budget of $40,000, we're now down to zero, and we've also included a bank service charge of $15,000, because that's what we're seeing, no revenue from interest but bank fees. And we're also not transferring that $120,000 from the excess stadium sales tax fund. Expenditures, just kind of nothing that really jumped out other than, you know, there's an increase in that police services contract. We've got the quarter of the revaluation that needs to be done. Market reval. We had put half of that in the excess stadium sales tax fund for 2020. 2021, we're going to use up what funds are remaining in that stadium tax fund, and then the rest had to go to the general fund. Debt service fund is increasing by just under $50,000. We had a slight decrease in the debt service requirements, the principal and interest as compared to the prior year, but with the 2019 borrowing, there was a premium on that bonding, and that premium needs to be used to offset interest costs, so then the budget is lower, kind of artificially lower almost, but we had funds on hand to pay for that. We've got employee wages in here with a 2% increase. Seasonal employees, there's been no adjustments to that since we did that during the 2018 budget process, although we did increase the crossing guards effective for the 2020-2021 school year. current proposed budget includes a 10% increase in health insurance. Offsetting that, we projected employees share the premium to increase from 3% to 6%. That's been discussed with our finance ad hoc personnel committee, as well as we did bring our insurance committee members back together to discuss that. Dental insurance, 4% increase, and Wisconsin retirement, that rate stayed the same. Part of the way we can get the levy down to decrease the tax rate is the application fund balance. So what we're proposing is to use the $200,000. I think the sales price is about $210,000 for the community center. We'll have some expenses, and then we'd like to take that $200,000 net amount and apply it to the 2021 budget. The bus service fund, we have applied money with the 2020. We're only going to apply $322 with the 2021. That service, it mentioned that the requirement of bonding to apply that fund balance that's in there. Sanitary, water, and storm utilities. Cash flows are included on pages 9, 10, and 11, where we show the income statement activity and then bring it to a cash projected cash balances. One of the other things I did, and we talked about it when we had Ellers in here talking about our bonding, is these coverage ratios we need for our utilities with their debt. And the information that was presented this year was based on 2018 costs. So I've been able to bring that forward even to our 2021 budget, and we're definitely going to have to look at rate increases for the water. And the sanitary, we can see that that's a negative cash balance as it is, but we really need to bring those in line with the coverage ratios we need for the debt. Storm, I'm going to hold off on because we did pick up on some additional ERFs to be charged. Did I say that right? ERUs. So we'll see how that kind of plays out, and then if we need to make an adjustment, we can make an adjustment the following year. Draw your attention to where our tax rate has gone, 2016 to 2021. So we maintain a 722 per thousand, dropped to 721 for a couple years. Last year we bumped to the 7.36, and now we're proposing a 7.55. Over the same time period, that's an increase of about 4.5%. And you can see down below then here how the levy itself has grown over time.
What percentage is that?
That's 9%.
Oh, 9%.
Yeah.
Which means we've found cost savings of about 4.5% over that same time.
Mm-hmm.
And adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things I guess I looked at, and Matthew actually sent this analysis over, is when we're looking at this, and we're looking at, you know, the general fund is the driver of this levy for the most part. So where are these dollars compared to the prior year? And that's what this kind of shows us here. We've got the total expenditures for the general fund for both 20 and 21. And then some of the major categories of, if you want to call these activities or services that are provided here. And you can see where, you know, fire is 26% of those expenditures, police 14%. This all other category captures all the general admin and election, treasurer, some of those other costs that didn't rise to the level of kind of separating them out here by category. So when you look, maybe I can move this over for you here. Maybe not. When we look at this then, you know, you can see you're looking at police, crossing guards, and fire, and what a huge chunk that's taking up. All this down below here, and some of our street activities, all the way through here, and then we've got parks, recreation, forestry, and that last little piece here is that all other. One of the other things we kind of wanted to point out here, hopefully I can get this back over so I can do it, is personnel costs. So of this $7.4 million and $7.5 million here, we've got salaries and benefits, $2.1 million, which is 28, nearly 29% of expenditures. I also then just took the fire and police service contracts, 2.8, 2.8, 38% of expenditures. So when you look at total personnel, fire contract, police contract, it's like two-thirds of the cost of this budget in the general fund. One of the questions, I shouldn't say one of the questions, but we do have some food information here too, come to light. Our 10% health insurance increase that we have in the budget is an actual 2.5%. So when I look at this sheet here, this right here is our current. This is what's happening in 2020 right now with the benefit levels. So actual cost would be about $486,000. When we did the increase for the budget with the 10% increase in cost, employees going from 3% to 6% in premium, we'd have a cost of about $518,000, or an increase of $32,000 over actual. Looking at the 2.5% increase here, put together some options for the board to consider what we want the employees' premium withholding to be. Do we want it to stay at 3, increase to 4, 5, or 6? And then these numbers here show what the increase is over under the actual. And I come down here. It's showing the savings from what we have in the budget versus some of these other options we have here. So current budget versus 2.5 employee premium stays the same, the savings of $18,000. 4%, $24,000, they go to 5%, it's nearly 30, and 6% is $35,000. And then this information below here just kind of allocates it to the fund. Savings will be found.
I'm sorry, Julie, could you go through that again?
Sure. This bottom portion, mainly here, this is the difference in what's currently in the budget right here, this $518,000, where if we go down to a 2.5% increase and then some of the premium options for the employees. So if they stayed at a 3%, then this is the total savings we would see in the budget.
President Raptor, I think what we saw is that for each percent that the employees increase their payment of the premium, it's worth about $5,500 in terms of the budget for the village itself. And I think some of the staff has... or there's been a committee that has met with supervision and the staff itself explaining we may be needing to increase the amount of premium that the employees are paying. And I think part of the original plan, correct me if I'm wrong, was if we look at it a salary increase and go from 3 to 6%, that the employers are paying, in general, it would be a wash for most employees. It's not going to be exact for everybody, but that was the original goal, the 10% projected increase in charges. If we went from 3 to 6, everybody got, again, an overall 2% increase. It was going to try to be a wash. With this, it looks like we've got a potential of either lowering the amount to the residents or not going up to 6% for the staff.
And what were these, what was the staff input from those discussions?
Understandable, very understandable. And this is something we started actually last year, the initial discussion, and then we brought everyone back together after the first of the year, and we had been working on it and looking at various options and how can staff help with the increase in the health insurance. And we were projecting that 10%. Based on that 10%, if we did a smaller increment, go from 3 to 6, we are still seeing that it is an overall positive benefit for everyone as far as an increase. When you started to get to that 10%, then it was really going, you know, if the employees were taking on 10%, it was a major hit to several. So we're trying to find that happy medium, and that's where we came up with, you know, if it was 10%, we could see, or 10% increase, we could see change in the employee contribution to 6% versus 3.
Okay, now that it's 2.5, what is staff recommending?
Well, we just got this on Friday afternoon, so okay. We haven't been back together as a group.
Yeah, and my recommendation would be, we're currently just about maxed out at our expenditure restraint. And that's the state program that looks at general fund expenditures and then any levy, like for the bus fund, we used to levy for the park capital fund. And there's a formula that you go through, and you can only increase by so much from the prior budget in order to qualify for the expenditure restraints. We're pretty much maxed out on that. I would like to see if there are any savings in health insurance here that we look at restoring some of our equipment replacement fund charges. I'm trying to pull up this sheet here. We have done, I wanted to show you some of the things we're trying to do to keep a flat rate in the past, like for the 2018 budget. We did cut equipment charges. Now, part of that was because that fund was building up rather quickly, and then monies were being used for soccer field and other capital items. So it's like, let's scale back on the charges that are hitting the general fund operations and, do what we need to for some of these larger capital items. So we cut back on that. We used part of the excess stadium sales tax for tax relief in 2018. 2019, we got rid of that $13,000 levy for the parks capital projects fund. We also applied $120,000 from that excess stadium sales tax fund. 2020 rolled around. We had another $120,000 from that excess stadium sales tax fund. Also cut the ERF charges, and that was to bring those expenses down to an acceptable level to qualify for that aid. And we had applied $10,000 from the bus fund. The revaluation, like I mentioned before, half of that cost went into that excess stadium sales tax fund. That's how we were going to get some of the work done at the community center, but with that sale, we didn't use those funds, so that's helping out with some of that reval. And then 2021, we're again looking at applying $200,000 of fund balance. So.
Not many more places we can take it from.
Exactly.
If I could go back to the
total compensation package.
Yep.
When we had the discussion about a 2% increase,
mm-hmm.
and the bump of employee participation rate from 3% to 6%, I heard the term wash used, but at 6%, more people than not were going to still see a net increase in their take-home pay. My recollection is we could have pushed that 6% even higher and still reached a point where, you know, you might lose all your pay rates might go to the new, but it was higher than 6%. So
yeah.
At a 6% participation rate, people are still getting a nominal, a small increase in.
Yes, I believe we found there would be one employee that would be missing out on that because we used an average increase of 53 cents per hour compared to, I think the family was like 39 cents, 34 cents an hour increase. So yeah, there was
yeah.
a flexibility.
So even it's close to a wash, but they're still ahead. The way
yes.
to say it would be most of your 2% pay increase is going to the higher contribution rate.
Yeah, and I did leave out the exempt employees, the non-exempt. I want to say that wrong. Non-exempt. The salaried employees.
Exempt.
Kept the higher level ones out of that kind of average into it. So. One of the other things we talked about during one of our finance committee meetings was, you know, we've got a 2% wage increase in there. What could we do if we brought it down to 1.5%? And that's basically what this difference is showing us here. We have a savings of approximately $10,000. And then these are rough calculations if you change that percentage to 1.25 or 1% or 1.75.
So 2% gives us, let's just say it's $11,000, 10.7, but let's just say it's 2% gives us $11,000, and each percentage of increase in the employee portion of the premium is $5,500. That ballpark, again, it gives us a leeway of 4%, so each half percent of wage increase would equate to 1% of premium increase. So to Trustee Sampson's point, we'd still, in general, be about each employee on average would be about a half a percent ahead. So I'm smoothing it out, but that's how I'm seeing it.
Yeah. So I guess that's all I really had to share. It's kind of an overview, and then I was hoping we could perhaps have a general discussion on where we want to go with this, if we want to make adjustments to the wage rate, get a feel for where we'd like to see the premium for the employees for the health insurance.
Okay. Thoughts? So it went to our personnel committee, right? And you had discussions with employees. And what is their current contribution? It's still right by $2 million.
Depends on what?
Yeah.
Where you fall? Family?
Yeah.
Single?
Okay, here's the current plan here, where we're at 2020. So we look at monthly, depending on your service level here. Employee only is $18.94, families $56.81.
Monthly.
So then what is currently in the budget, the 10% increase is the 6% employee premium. So there's an increase there, and that's shown down here. $22.72 monthly for an employee only, all the way up to $68 for a family. That's what the 10% increase. Now, if we go over to the 2.5% increase, and the 6% premium is right here, your employee deduction for a family goes up to 116. Which is a monthly of $59. And the majority of our employees are on the family plan. We've got 29 plans out there, and 14 of the 29 are families.
And as of Friday, we're pretty certain that 2.5 is where we're going to be. Medical premium?
That's the email I received from Foresight, yeah.
Okay. That's good news.
Yeah.
So, Julie, down on the bottom part of that spreadsheet on the right,
yep,
it says employee monthly is $59, and it's just about double that in the row 80. So what's the difference between employee deduction there and the employee deduction above?
The employee deduction.
So, like, compare that 1988 to 3882. They both say monthly
contribution increase. Right. That's the amount of the increase, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the increase here. Or this is the deduction. We go from the current.
Oh, so total so increase. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Still. Not bad in this day and age. Yeah. Okay, why don't we go around the room with thoughts on.
And he's looking at me.
Well, it's because he skipped you the first time for roll call.
It's easier to watch straight across. You know what? I'll start to my immediate left and interrupt Trustee Sampson's dinner.
I'm fine with it, but Chris has been more involved.
Right, at the committee level, if Brad has already had the discussion, then it could go up to as much as 6%. And I don't know if the discussion was out there that we're looking at a 2% pay package increase.
Yes.
That was part of it. And, you know, it's been a tough year, an unusual year, and people were okay with it. And the 2%, in percentages, you know, salary increases don't mean anything if your pay scale isn't where it should be. And we're probably about where we should be. Maybe we're a little efficient or a little lower than some of the, we certainly are lower than some of the other municipalities. but we're also in a different, you know, we're a unique financial situation because of the size and characteristics of the village. So I would support the 2% pay increase and moving it up to a 6% contribution rate. And if we have a little tiny windfall, put it to the good of the ship where it can best be applied. And I don't, you know, the employees know that that's what, you know, to keep the whole thing operating, that's what we need to do. I don't think that they should be upset that they're funding, you know, something else. As long as our pay scale is generally, our compensation packages are about where we want them to be, and that's not our highest priority to make good. And we've done some things in the last few years to bring people up where they needed to be brought up. So as far as being fair to employees, I think by doing the 2% and then going to the 6% contribution rate, that would be fair to employees.
And that's a 2% raise across the board, right?
Correct.
And I'm guessing that there are other merit increases.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Dart.
Okay, I don't know, you know, what other people are doing. I haven't really paid attention to where salaries have been going in other areas. I just know that the things that I am aware of, they're pretty much frozen for the year. But I don't disagree that we should go with the 2% But I don't think we should feel bad about the 2%. And the other thing is with health insurance, I think that 3% is an awfully rich program. You don't really hear about anybody at 3% anymore, at least not in the areas I deal in. So I would, but for some reason I like the number 5% better than the 6%, so I would say 2% to 5%.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Atwood.
I would echo Trustee Sampson. You know, it's a good plan. It's tough. Yeah, it's a weird year. Yeah, and everybody has felt some pain. We obviously want to keep employee morale as high as that we can, but I think 2 and 6 is fair.
Okay, thank you. Trustee Genrick.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on the ad hoc committee. So I had the privilege of getting a lot of this information and a lot of the discussions, and certainly want to thank Sean and Chris and Brad, Julie, and all staff in getting us to where we are today. I mean, there's a lot of work, and right now it looks pretty simple, but there's a lot of work. And I just want to say thanks and congrats to all you guys for doing all your hard work and all the heavy lifting, and then we can kind of just, you know, point fingers at it and all the rest, but I really appreciate that. Now, this does include the $500 we were looking at for street maintenance, construction, $500,000?
Street paving, yes.
Okay, and that's a good thing. It also includes the $185 for parks, correct?
Okay. That'd be a bonding issue, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was, and, you know, I agree with Trustee Sampson as well with the 2%. I think I just read either Howard Hobart, somebody just was talking 2% today. So I think it's consistent in the community. I think we're fortunate with the staff that we have. They've taken on, as I remember over the last year, all just different projects that staff have been able to do, the asphalt repairs and everything else, and they've just been very creative. So if we can reward them, I think that's important that we should. The health insurance was really good news that it's not going 10%, but 2.5%. So if we could do the 2.6%, I'd be good with all that. Yes, overall, I think it's a good budget. Some of the things we really can't control, you know, police, fire, safety, all those things, is such a huge chunk. We're left with just little bits to deal with, so I give it my thumbs up.
Thank you. Trustee Harris.
I think going with the 2% and just to be consistent with the discussions that have been had about going to the 6% for the employee premium, it allows us, as Julie pointed out, I didn't think about until, you know, people have been talking, and she pointed out about 5 minutes ago, the expenditure restraint limitation, and if we go to 2 and 6, we have about $35,000 that can be moved over to equipment replacement. And I think one of the things that could cause employee frustration is working with equipment that's not working, or that is needs extra maintenance, or we may have extra maintenance costs because of not replacing something. If we take a portion of that $35,000 and give it towards equipment replacement, that may help us just as much as other things. It's not as tangible, but it gives us an opportunity, one, not to be pushed on the limit for expenditure restraint, and two, replace some equipment. So I'm good with the 2 and 6.
Okay, thank you. And Trustee Green, how are you tonight?
Hey, good. Yeah, I'm on board with the 2 and 6 and echo everybody's else's comments regarding that.
Okay, thank you. And I would echo them as well, and I would like to thank the committee for doing that. That's an extra level of scrutiny, if you will, or assistance that we put in place this year, and I thank everyone for spending the extra time to do that, and for staff to work, especially during this time, to be able to come in as close as we can. And we thank our employees for doing what they do. So I would go along with the 2 and 6. Thank you. So what's next in this beautiful budget?
I'd like to kind of turn it over to Chris, because if you want to kind of get a little highlights on the on the departments,
yep.
Although they are fairly flat
yep.
for the most part, but Chris has got a proposal that wants to share.
To start off with, our departmental operating budgets, we started off with a draft and met with staff and village president, and we tweaked things to get them to where they're at now. We were able to, one of the big things I, in my department, was looking at, now that we don't have the community center, was potential rent costs for some of our programming. We have since, with the programming that we still have that we plan to partake, we have locations that we're going to utilize that we, Greenout Park, this facility right here, we're going to maximize those as much as possible to keep from having to pay rent. But we still are potentially going to have a program or two that may need some of that in the future, which I believe we've talked about that we've been working with Heritage Hill, been working with CP Center and YMCA to come up with some partnerships on things like that. So,
what have you found?
Well, we did get some numbers from Heritage Hill that seem very competitive and workable if need be. At this point, we've told them we're going to hold off because of COVID and the fact that we're going to utilize our spaces, but continue to look at that in the future. I know that they really would like to partner with the village on some programming and different things like that, so we want to keep that communication open and that. So CP Center, we're still really haven't come to any type of agreement or anything like that yet, because there's still a little cautious with the way things are, and understandable, with their facility and who their clientele are. So, but we hope that that's a future possibility for us. Overall, we were able to hold our budget in our Parks, Recreation, and Forestry, pretty even, slight increase. One thing, a highlight, is this year we contracted out some of our park facility janitorial services, and we are recommending to continue that into the future. That was about a $5,500 expense, but I think it was well worth us going down that road, because it gives for some of our greatest use facilities 7 days a week cleaning at a cost that I don't think we could compare to with our current staff if we had to pay overtime wages and things like that. So, and allows for a good product for the community. Another thing that I believe I presented to all of the board members, I gave you all a handout of a new position that I would like to look at. We talked about this earlier, and it's a spring and fall seasonal labor position for our Parks Department. The board gave us approval to hire that at a wage of $15 an hour and a temporary for this fall. With that position, we would recommend that a pay range starting at $13.50 up to $14.50 an hour. After looking at what comparables are with other communities around, that would put us right in the middle. We wouldn't be the lowest, we wouldn't be the highest. I think the average was about almost $13 an hour for that. And it's a position that would allow us to help our full-time staff during those busy time periods in the springtime, especially before our summer college kids come in in mid to end of May. That April-May time period is some of our busiest time with maintenance activities in the parks. As well as fall, after the kids go back to school, and every year it seems like it's earlier and earlier. You know, it's beginning of August now almost, that there our summer staff are leaving. So our full-time staff duties over the years has changed and increased in the Parks Department, with the big hit being our urban forestry program, especially with, and I've talked about it numerous times, especially with our dying ash trees that we, you know, have to remove. That takes a lot of staff time, and will continue to. Park projects. We try to save the village money by doing projects in-house rather than contracting that out or having a consultant do it. And it's very difficult for us to schedule a lot of those depending on weather and depending on staffing availability, but we have found that, you know, it's a cost savings overall if we're able to do a lot of those projects in-house. Takes away from day-to-day maintenance, though, with that. And facility maintenance. You know, our park foreman is, spends at least half his time working on facility maintenance, you know, with this facility, fire station, and other buildings throughout the our community. So with that being said, what we're looking at doing is utilizing the monies that were budgeted for our seasonal staff of 6 individuals, not increasing that at all, just transferring that to this position, and then we would have a little shy of, we had budgeted 6 positions in that, so we did this position, we would have enough funding remaining, it would be a little shy of 5 positions. And like I said, with every year it seems like we're not getting a full 12 weeks out of some of those kids. I think we can still hire, if we can find individuals, we can still hire 5 positions for the summer and have this individual in our shoulder seasons of spring and fall. That would greatly help out in our operations.
Thank you.
We were talking about this earlier, Chris, that yep. Your department's the one where we can generate some revenue outside of our tax levy, right, and utility fees. Have you thought of any creative ways to increase revenue on your side?
Potentially. Quite a bit of our revenue in our budget is offset by expenses within the recreation department. If a recreation program doesn't run, we don't get the revenue from it, but we also don't have the expenses associated with it. In looking at some potential future revenues, some possibilities might be looking at, we just installed new kayak launches. Could we look at things like space rental for storage or even equipment rentals, you know, things like that. Some of that might require an upfront expense to get going, but with potential revenues. Other things would be to potentially look at some tournament type things, whether that's, you know, pickleball or sport field, you know, uses, to try to garner more revenues from that field usage or court usage type of use. From that, there's always potential. I know Matt comes up with, throughout the year, comes up with various new recreation programs. But like I said, a lot of those, if there's an expense associated with that, if we don't have the expense, we don't have the revenue either to offset those.
Any questions for Chris? Anything else you need help with? Okay, I won't ask.
I have a question for Chris.
Penny?
Do you have that in the budget, this extra person? person, or?
Yes, we're just utilizing the money that we have already budgeted for our seasonal staff. We're just moving those positions around, those bodies around a little bit.
The biggest reason to bring that up is because of the scale is a little bit higher, and it is set at a different time period of the year, where it's not a summer help issue. So, just wanted to make sure that was part of the budget discussion, so it's upfront, transparent, and how he's utilizing the same dollars, but just differently.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I do have an EAB question.
Sure.
And our street trees that are ash, are we on track for where you think we need to be to deal with those?
Short answer, no.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of, because I've noticed a whole lot more dieback.
Much like every other community that's dealt with it in the past, it catches up to you quicker than what you think. So, you know, we'll have to devote more time in future years to that specifically.
Do you see any forthcoming problems with where the forestry budget is with those this year? Or are we doing okay?
This year, 2020, we're okay. 2021, I'm hopeful that it doesn't get too much greater. Beyond that, I think we may need to look at that budget, that part of the budget. But I think there's also some potential ways for us to offset that as well. Whether that might be sales of material, logs, things like that, or, you know, looking at partnerships or even some funding assistance.
Okay. Has anybody come up with any innovative markets? I mean, there's just so much of it that I don't have much hope that that's going to pan out, but yeah. I hope it does.
You know, it would be nice to say yes, but especially with the cost of building materials right now, you'd think that there'd be a market. We'll have to see, I think.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Shall we go on to Public Works?
Sure. I'd like to point out a couple things in the engineering department. Just recently, we hired Derek Taylor, second engineering tech. We had a budgeted but vacant position. Derek's going to help us with design, updating on maps. He's going to be play a critical role with the renovations to our GIS mapping system. He will allow us to have a little less dependence on consulting. Right now, typically go to a consultant for drafting needs, but I do a lot of the engineering in-house. So I'm excited about that. Chris has played probably a bigger role than I have with the renovations that we're currently started this year. We hired Rupert Melke to help with our GIS needs. They've currently put together or finalizing a needs assessment from that. We'll develop a plan and get on our way with improving our overall GIS mapping system that should lead to deficiencies in the future. Street department, we've been told our general transportation aid funding will increase roughly $12,000 compared to last year, $425,000. In October, we went out and applied for a recycling grant. We do that on a yearly basis. No increase in revenue there, $98,500. We don't anticipate any revenue generated from recyclables. Actually, last year at this time, I think we were looking at a cost of roughly $35 to $40 a ton to dispose of recyclables. Actually, that market has improved. Right now, we're paying roughly $20. So We're gonna see a decrease in expenditure with the disposal of recyclables. However, we're gonna see a slightly increase cost of disposal of garbage. Very slight increase by Brown County. I think a 23-cent increase in tipping fee to get rid of garbage. However, what we've seen with COVID, we've seen a larger volume of garbage, roughly about 200 tons.
The increase is 200 tons?
Yes, roughly speaking, yeah.
Understood.
About a $6,000 increase compared to this year. Our garbage and recycling carts are at the end of their useful life. We are no longer repairing those. We will be purchasing new ones. However, the cost will be offset by the revenue that will be generated when we sell those to the residents. We purchased the carts for 60, we sell them for 70. As mentioned by Trustee Genrick, we'll be matching the $500,000 paving budget that we had last year. We're matching funding levels this year of 50 and 25,000 for potholes and crack filling. And we're stretching our cost funding of potholes by doing more in house. Our street department guys have gotten better at that, and it allows us to respond quicker to resident concerns when they come up. We started this year, and next year we'll be separately tracking the activity for sidewalk snow removal to determine what that cost is. Better understand what that cost is. We're thinking that it's roughly about $25,000 to clear sidewalk. I mentioned garbage and recycling. Next year we're gonna add another leaf vacuum truck for our fleet, and we feel that with that we should see a reduction in equipment costs. We're hoping by end of next year we can completely eliminate the baling process, which takes a lot of equipment and manpower. We have been in discussions with the pier in Ledgeview to explore the possibility of jointly operating a yard waste site down at LeBron, and we'll continue to evaluate that. We're going to do it to our best ability. We're going to try to get our projects out early in the year. We did that this year with our street resurfacing project. We saw favorable unit prices. We've actually already started next year's projects. 30% plans for next year's street and utility reconstruction projects has been completed, and we started next year's street resurfacing projects. So, and Derek is starting to assist with that. Sewage treatment. What I want to point out here is we've seen a steady increase in the cost to treat our wastewater and new water for a number of reasons. One, record levels of precipitation in 2018-19 and at the beginning of this year. However, we've seen that come down a little bit. Increased cost, operating cost by new water, they're proposing a 5.7% increase next year. We've also learned of an additional loading source somewhere in our service boundary. We know that it's on the west side. We've seen this infrequent loading, and we need to do testing, sampling to get a handle of where that source is coming from. We believe that it's Green Bay Correctional Institute, but we don't know for sure. So.
John, why don't you just real briefly talk about the impact that source is costing?
Last year, it cost the mill $230,000 up and beyond what new water had projected for flows. This year, I anticipate about roughly the same increase, about 230,000 over what they had projected. 19, it was more so a reflection of the amount of iodine in our system, treatment of clear water. But this year, it's the combination of clear water and loading. I feel that it's coming from Green Bay Correctional Institute, BOD and TSS, but I don't know for sure. I have budgeted a small amount in next year's budget to get some assistance to figure that out. Water department?
I'm sorry. $230,000 was the increase because of the record rain and this other problem that we can't quantify that might be coming from the correctional institute.
Right.
And right now you don't have a guess as to how much of the $230,000 is from this other problem that might be the correctional institution?
I do know, but I need to finalize my numbers.
Okay, but it's a significant piece of the $230,000.
It's
not insignificant.
It's not insignificant.
Okay,
insignificant.
I got you. You're finding that out.
The challenging part is we started to see these infrequent loadings, and it maybe a half a dozen times last year, and it seemed to happen on a weekend. It happened in the spring of last year, fall of last year, and then we saw it again this spring. And I had heard it when the COVID outbreak at GBCI in the spring, and talked to somebody at New Water and asked for their monitoring information from their sampling station over on the west side. And there was a direct correlation of what seemed to be what happened over there and what we saw in numbers. And that was because inmates were locked down and they were allowed to purchase more often off of what they call a canteen list. Shakes, nachos, you name it, they could buy it to help appease them because they were locked up in their cell, excuse me. It happened again this fall. I had a bigger outbreak, and to my knowledge, they were locked down, but we didn't see that same kind of spike. The other thing that hasn't really helped us at all, because of this infrequent loading, New Water went from testing our wastewater flow 7 days a week to 14. And maybe we discovered that our loading was possibly higher than, overall maybe it was higher than what the testing was suggesting. So we've got to work through this, get a handle on it. Figure it out. Water. Go ahead. No. Water department. Central Brown County Water Authority is doing a great job of keeping the cost down. Nick was here. Provided a presentation on the budget. We're going to see a decrease in cost for the purchase of water. We're not really going to see an increase in cost to purchase it, but our use is coming down. I had assumed last year 410 million gallons. This year, I'm assuming that we're going to use roughly speaking 405. We're going to continue to jointly bid projects, such as a good example of that would be leak detection and reservoir inspection. We have jointly bid those projects with Bellevue, MPU, the Pier, I think even Howard. That definitely helps lower the cost. We have budgeted for transmission and water service breaks at 45 and 50,000 respectively. Next year, we need to update our emergency response plan and put together a risk and resilience plan at a cost of roughly $30,000. Next year, we'll be removing and replacing the chlorine analyzers at the connection station at 15 and should step back. The emergency response plan that will get updated. As of right now, I have that cost included in the 2021 bonding, as well as the removal and replacement of the chlorine analyzers to more precisely measure the amount of chlorine that goes in our water. Under a street reconstruction project next year, I don't know if you've been over to the call station lately, but the driveway is in poor condition. We'll improve that under the reconstruction project. There are a number of hydrants we have to remove and relocate that are in conflict with the GOES of the school project at a small expense. Next year we have another large street reconstruction project, and under that project we're going to remove and replace cast iron water main and defective sanitary sewer, all of which should help our budgets, public works budgets in the future. Stormwater Utility Fund, Julia pointed out, we're just wrapping up a fairly large ERU study. We're taking a hard look at our commercial properties. I don't believe this has been done since the creation of the utility. We're looking to make sure that we're capturing all of the imperviousness at our commercial properties. And we found that through this, due to development and redevelopment, there have been commercial properties that have expanded their park surface areas at the amount of roughly $60,000. We feel that we're going to generate $60,000 from capturing this new imperviousness. Equipment replacement plan, it's in your budget. I just want to point out some pretty key purchases next year. We're hopeful to replace a sewer back truck that we have in 2001. Matthew has some questions earlier today. It's 8,000 miles, roughly 5,000 hours. It needs a lot of work. We rely on that piece of equipment. It's expensive, about $450,000, but we rely on that to clean our sanitary sewer, to avoid sewer backups. Every year, we try to clean at least a third of the village's sanitary sewer, and then it will be used to clean, maintain storm sewer. We're hopeful to purchase another leaf vacuum truck. Actually, we've already made an offer to the pier. They're going to hold a truck for a purchase next year. We'll go out and purchase an ODB. It's a device that is territorial. We found out that you can't. We did go out and try to get close for that before, and we had only gotten one quote. So, well, all together, that cost is about $95,000. We're going to need to purchase either a used pickup truck or van for either Derek or Jeff. Jeff is going to be out overseeing next year's street reconstruction project, and Derek will be out assisting with the inspection. So we're in need of another vehicle. We've looked at discussions with Chris and other departments. Really don't have one that we have that we can use, so we're going to go and purchase one.
Sean?
Yeah.
Going back to New Water and how they estimate our flow, and our rate is based on that flow. Is that correct?
Yes.
Based on our discussion? And something Sean was telling me is that
historically, they have been overestimating our consumption, and our rate is based on their estimated
underestimating,
which makes the rate higher.
Right.
But then we always exceed that, and so we're paying a higher rate all of the time. Because if they increase their estimate, the rate would be lower.
The unit cost would go down.
The unit cost would go down. Yeah. So during our discussion with New Water, was that brought up?
It had been previously brought up to New Water. I've given them what I felt our projected rates would be next year based on the past 3 to 4 years, and they applied them.
They did apply them.
They did to the budget, but you know, if the other communities are doing the same, then you're not going to see a huge change.
And to Sean's credit, I'll let you know how people are working for us. He went around, he figured out for all the other municipalities what their rates should be based on their usage, got them the information. Tell me if I'm speaking of what right or wrong.
That
you did an analysis.
I did it with Brad's assistance. We looked at what the utilities or what the municipalities that paid last year. I think in every case, communities that send wastewater to New Water, in every case, they had exceeded their projected flows. I wish I had that spreadsheet in front of me, but it was close to $3 million that we paid up and beyond our projected flows.
Green Bay's was over $1 million itself.
Yeah.
And the question is, why would another municipality? Why wouldn't New Water just apply the correct assumptions to the other municipalities without them pushing it?
They do send out New Water early in the year. I would say midsummer sends out what they believe the projections to be for your community, and. With what we've seen with record levels of precipitation, I think our flow has been a lot more than what they projected. And my argument to them is, what are they using to come up with their projections? It's not based on the past 3 or 4 years. What is it? And I don't know that I've got an answer, but their response to me was. They don't want to come up short of the budget, and I'm like, well, when has that happened over the last few years? Because we definitely paid up and beyond what they projected.
Yeah. Because they also asked for increases. Go ahead.
I was just going to say then. Why don't they just give you a minimum? Let's say, I don't know what the number is, but you got to get to $400,000. It's a made-up number. If based off of their unit cost. If we get to $395,000, we have to pay them another $5,000. Why wouldn't they just set a threshold that you have to get past? It seems right now they're setting a threshold of, again, making up a number of $300,000, though your per unit cost is much higher. Once you get past that $300,000, you're still paying at the $300,000 rate per unit.
You're still paying at that high rate. You've already, technically, you've already met their budgeted dollar amount by hitting their projections. We should see a saving. We should see a credit of some sort because they've paid their employees health benefits. They're overhead.
Either that or once we cross that threshold, our rate was 5 per widget. Once you cross that threshold, you're now paying 3 per widget.
I think it was Trustee Sampson that pointed something out. It made a comment. Was it the last Village Board meeting? what needs to happen is somehow communities, municipalities have to be a part of the board. We have to get like Central Brown County Water Authority. The communities make up the board.
Yeah, that's right. We had that discussion because I'm new to New Water, and I guess I was kind of surprised that the Public Service Commission has no control over effluent or outflow, and that's part of the problem, that it's an appointed board with no statutory representation. The question I was going to ask is if a lot of this variation is from the infiltration and the rainy years, these record rainy years, that's a problem for Green Bay or Alloway, where you have old system, but there are municipalities that are mostly 30 years old or younger that don't have, you know, shouldn't New Water be able to nail what's coming out of new parts of DePere or Ledgeview, because it's not as susceptible to old pipes letting in water? You know, I'm wondering, is there a reason there that we get hit worse than other ones because ours and maybe Green Bay's are so variable because of the infiltration? Is there a question in there somewhere? You know, shouldn't they be able to nail them? Some of the communities don't have the problems we do with being so variable. I think that's true.
Ledgeview in particular, their system is in New Orleans, mainly PVC. Bellevue, they're probably better off than most. I think Howard has taken a proactive approach, and they've minimized the amount of ionizing in their system. They're not rewarding any community for having watertight systems. Those communities are being rewarded because they're paying less. We have taken a proactive approach at Village of 14,000, a reconstruct project every other year, and under those projects we're removing and replacing leaky systems, sanitary sewer, failing sanitary sewer. Under our program, we offer a program for residents to renew, replace their lateral, the private side from the property line to the home. This year, we're under our street group rehabilitation resurfacing project, relined St. Mary's and removed and replaced 27 miles. So we've taken a proactive approach. The weather hasn't been in our favor, and now we seem to have a rolling issue that we need to gain a better understanding of.
I guess I've heard you talk about, describe that we're doing a better job on, the Water Commission, both in getting rid of leakage on the expensive water coming in, and then also on the sewerage. Our problems with estimated and being maybe overbilled is not all related. You can't chalk it off to the fact that we've got an older system, necessarily.
Yeah, we do have...
Older than some.
Yes. It has led to more ionizing in our system and flow and infiltration. It's clear water finding a way into our sanitary sewer. We are improve that and try to reduce that through projects of lining and replacement of. Over time we should see a reduction in that cost.
Okay. So as I'm understanding that, because of that, that's why it makes sense for Sean to be a leader, because we're being hit worse than as no. bad or as anything else.
Yeah, worse, yeah. We took it. Brad took it upon themselves to do that, so I commend you both for that. That's
okay. All right. I understand that.
Yeah. And you had mentioned St. Mary's. Instead of replacing the sanitary sewer and lining it, how much did we save?
$2,000.
250. I think it was 200, approximately 250 for that half. Total will be 500 when we complete the project.
Yeah, that one hit it. I was for about 250,000.
Yeah. So, nice job.
Just to tie it up, this is a long-term project. This isn't going to be relief for this year's budget.
Right.
You're budgeting for a pretty big estimate to new water, and over time, hopefully get results there, but probably not in time for relief for this year's budget.
When do they go to their board for approval?
I think it's like December 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah. First week of December.
Now, Trustee Harris had asked again if they could move the time of their meeting from 8:30 to 5 o'clock or 5:30.
And the answer was?
Tom will present it to the board like he does every year for us.
Okay. Maybe we need to get our
Lynn, I heard you.
Municipalities on board.
You heard me laugh.
Well, at least you can hear us.
I can.
Any other questions for Sean, or any questions for Sean? Lynn?
No, I'm good. Although I think we should figure out GBCI somehow this year. I'm not sure how we go about doing that, but that doesn't need to be a budget meeting right now.
Yeah. What else on the budget, Brad?
Just going to leave Carrie an opportunity if she has anything she needs to add to her. Anything in the budget? I know Debbie was more involved with it, but Carrie, you'll be representing that in the future. Again, we've been trying to work out the amount that's for the elections, so it's not an up and down expenditure.
Right.
Trying to smooth that out.
To fit that into this budget, unfortunately.
Unless Julie has something more to say, I just have a couple other things that I wanted just to bring to your attention.
Okay.
There was an email that I shared with the board regarding state's contributions for hosting a state facility within your municipality. Julie was having a meeting with the area or state finance directors, and they're going to be discussing that whole issue, and we're going to try to draft some sort of a response back to the governor's office as far as what we feel we are being shorted, as well as, you know, the other communities that are hosting these. A big issue that's coming due would be the current funding that we're receiving for GBCI. That $60,000 is set to expire at the end of 21. Part of that response back to the governor's office would be that we need to come up with some new legislation that exempts, well, not exempts us, includes us with the exemption of other municipalities in the state of Wisconsin from having to bar the cost or the burden of the cost of covering for police services and such. So whether that becomes another budgeted issue with actual funding back to us and or legislative changes, but we're hoping to get that taken care of as well.
And we'll forego that $60,000 if they lock the door.
Absolutely.
We'll empty it out first.
They keep it locked right now.
I just want to thank the staff for all the work that they did on the budget. We started very early this year for a reason, because there is a lot to go into it. Julie does a fabulous job. There's only so many places that we can borrow to cover another area, and the creativity of using the sale of the community center replaces the stadium tax funding that I think the village board has been very frugal with that, and may that last a long time. Because if you think back, that started in about 2015, and we did it for a good 5 years. So I think you should be commended for that, putting it to the right use. Yeah, all the staff, Sean, Chris, we sat down a week or so ago in dire straits of we needed to find additional funding. They went through their budgets and found some additional funding. From the committees, I'll use the insurance committee. The time that they spend working on discussing and understanding the health insurance costs to the village and to the employee and having their understanding. It's nice to see us. We have to involve people, and I think we're doing a nice job involving people within a lot of the decisions that are taking place. The goal will be to get back to the continuous improvement once we can meet again safely and on a regular basis. But in the meantime, both Chris and Sean have been implementing other ideas within their own departments to help come up with ways to be more efficient. So it's not something that ended. We're just not meeting as a group at this time, but they're taking the lead to make sure that continues. So thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Julie, it was an interesting budget, like always.
Every year.
I think every year this is going to be an interesting budget, and we tend to get through it. And yes, there is an increase in this budget, which we all don't want to see, but in reality, it just trying to maintain and showing where our costs are actually going, that are things that are out of our control. And things that are in our control, we're taking active approaches or proactive approaches.
Yeah. And part of the budget that we don't talk about because it's not down in the numbers, in order to offset increases, ideally we can increase revenues. And the only way we really can increase revenues outside of raising taxes is by increasing the taxable properties in our village. And I just want to acknowledge Trevor for the hard work that he's done in helping work with the developers and bring them to the table and to start develop the properties that we have along Webster and the continuation of that. That will generate more taxes for us. And right now that's the best way we can do it, but hats off to the staff for working on that and doing a good job. Any other comments? Okay, so you have what you need to finalize the budget?
I guess my question would be then, with the savings that we'll see, which I've got highlighted there, because of the decrease in the health insurance cost, and then maintaining the 6% for the employee premium, if I could take that $24,000, keep my expenditures the same in the general fund, but put that towards equipment replacement charges, then to kind of add back part of what we took away in last year.
And do we split that out between departments?
It could be. It could definitely be. Mainly, it's mainly going to hit the street department. But we'd let the savings flow through to the other funds here. Not a whole lot, but some savings.
Any thoughts on that, Trustee Sampson?
More of a macro question for Julie, and that's, are we doing things in this year's budget that we should be squirreling away because the bottom's going to fall off next year? And I think the answer is no. With the $200,000 proceeds of the building, on paper that's not great budgeting using a capital input. But on the other hand, with the reassessment, revaluation, that should balance out. And then the other thing, I can't get out of thinking about the state. I think the state's going to have a crisis with the lost sales tax and everything else. But that really doesn't hit us because they backed off on road aid this budget year, right. Correct?
Yep.
But the shared revenue, not. Next year, maybe they'll have to, but we don't get that. We get relatively little shared revenue. I think you've shared that that's come down.
It has come down. They're thinking the shared revenue is secure because they haven't done that budget adjustment or whatever they have to do at the state level to change that. Like Sean said, transportation aids are up, even though they did tweak that percentage again. So if they would have left that alone, we'd have even more money, but they keep picking away at it. And to your point, the $200,000, it's not available. It should be a one-time thing, but we're hoping it flows through to the 2022 where we have that market reval.
Yeah.
And the rate will come down. We'll have a little more play with that rate then.
Okay. So, but it's not like we've got to look at everything this year, budget. Oh, the bottom's going to fall out a year from now. We better start planning for that. Although you do, you plan a couple of years out.
Yeah. We try to do the best we can, but it's really there's so much up in the air with those state shared revenues. And I did get some information. Like Brad said, the Department of Revenue, with their dashboard now, you can look at a lot of data. I'm going to put together some to show you kind of the trends with that aid too. And it's difficult. It's difficult when you look at our reliance on property taxes.
So if you're really looking at trying to do a comparable from one community to another or ours to another, go to the DOR's website, and they have a dashboard that it talks about how many squirrels are within that community. There's so much information that it's crazy and somewhat overwhelming, but very, very helpful.
But the shared revenue, the fact that that's gone down for a community like Alloway as a percentage of our revenue has been a burden to deal with. On the other hand, if things go to heck for the state and the state just has a fiscal crisis next year, the fact that we're not as reliant on it is a good, we're in a better place.
Correct.
That's the flip side of it. So I kept asking, is next year, the year after that, and you said, no, we should be pretty stable, and the odds of the bottom falling out of Alloway's budgeting revenue, no. So what you described with that relatively little, the $25,000 is fine.
Yeah. What I did here with this column with this projected 2022 is just kind of pulled over if the general fund levy needed to be the same, but I'm adding back the $200,000 we're applying. Public bus, compensated absences, and then this is what our levy will need to be for our debt service fund for 2022. So when you pull that down, because of this equalized value change here, we're at 919,266. This market reval should bring us in line with equalized value. If that all flows through, this is what the tax rate would be then, 6752. Now that's going to change because these numbers are going to change, but just from a high level, with that market reval, how that affects the rate. Not going to affect that levy, it's going to affect the rate.
So some people's taxes will go down.
Some will go down, some will go up. Correct.
Where else would you apply that $35,000 if you didn't put it into that?
I think the equipment replacement charges are a concern for me. Just given, like we talked about in our staff meeting, with the purchases we had in 2020 and 2021, you know, we're looking at over $1 million in equipment purchases. So that draws that balance way down. And we had already brought that. The charge was down a little bit, and then last year we did that drop just to get in with expenditure restraint. So I'd like to maximize that expenditure restraint and return those funds to the replacement fund.
Are you good with that, sir? Yeah. Any?
I kind of forgot what the question was. But I'm back on board. I agree, Julie. I think equipment replacement fund would be a good thing because that's the first go-to we've used in the past to make it through the year. So we knew, you know, at some point we would have to deal with that, and I think we have that opportunity right now, and that's a good place to spend it or put it.
Thank you. Trustee Atwood.
I would agree. If you don't, it's going to be a problem down the road. So definitely address it now.
Okay, Trustee Genrich.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. Trustee Harris.
I'm on board with that. And then I just check with Julie, because normally when I've got 20, 30 questions about the budget that I email over, and with the preparation that the staff has done and sitting in on the ad hoc committee, which whoever came up with the idea, I think it was a great thing to come up with, just to get more involvement from the start, a little more bouncing off of ideas, I think that has helped tremendously. I think 95% of everything that's been brought up, whether it's Jim, Chris, or I, are nodding along, this is great, but my impression is that it made everybody a little more comfortable to get feedback earlier in the process. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to acknowledge putting that together, I think, has helped the process, and well done there. But like I said, instead of my 20 or 30 questions, I had two or three. One of them brought up with the vac truck, and then I just wanted to ask, I had asked about Roselawn Street construction. Just because I'm anticipating a question, I know that I think in 2010 or 2011, we redid all of West Briar Lane between Webster and Roselawn in a single calendar year. The question coming up about why wouldn't we do Roselawn? It was what Sean gave the answer I anticipated. Because you've got the boulevard, you've got much more curb and gutter to take care of. It's a much more expensive project, even though just the west to east distance is essentially the same. Just one thing I was wondering about. There was one line item on the budget that showed our ambulance fee collection is down. They're projecting $10,000 less. I didn't understand that completely because I think we had a rate increase two or three years ago. So I know there's some checking being done into that. Not that it would change what our budget is, because if that's what they're saying it is, it doesn't change how we would set the tax levy. But it would be interesting to know why they're projecting a $10,000 decrease in our revenue. And then the last one, and this is sort of a public works question, had to do with street lighting. When I was looking at the big expenditures, if we're spending $190,000 a year on street lighting, I was just wondering how much of the village-controlled street lights have been switched over to LEDs. And you know, I'm assuming every time one burns out that isn't an LED, we're changing them. Sean confirmed that along Webster, Brown County is changing them out. So I just hopefully we're taking that approach and our electricity fees go down over time.
It's WPS.
Or WPS, pardon me. So those are the other things I spotted in the budget that I wanted to bring up to everybody as a group.
Cool, thank you. Trustee Green.
I'm on board with everything everybody's saying. I've got some concerns regarding not only the sales tax revenue in the state, but the other one is room tax. There was one municipality where they had shown Green Bay not being down all that much, but with the change in the Packer season, that's going to be interesting by the end of the year, but everybody's doing a great job. Budget seems so much easier these last couple of years than they ever have been before.
Great. Matthew has another question. Thank you, Lynn.
Well, just agreed with the room tax. I'm actually going to a meeting on Wednesday about that, so I could maybe gather some information and bring it to the board in a November meeting.
Awesome.
Great, thank you. Okay, you get a 7 for 7, Julie.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Just a reminder, tomorrow night we do have if you're onto that agenda item.
Yeah.
Okay. reminder, tomorrow night we do have Sheriff Delane. If you can think of some questions you would like to ask, he will be doing a presentation. presentation, and I will be trying to get the fire department also scheduled for a presentation to the board. So.
Excellent. Well, thank you, everyone, for your hard work. Keep up the good work, and I will accept a motion to adjourn. Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.